So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Kerry Smith, who's the chief big ass of Big Ass Fans, and his one of his team members, Dave Waltz, who is a customer advocate over there. Hi, Dave. Hi, Kerry. How are you doing?
Great. I'm Adrian. Thank you.
So, Kerry, Dave, maybe one at a time, or try and talk together if you like, but for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and also a bit about the work that you do?
At Big Ass Fans, we make, as you might imagine, very, very large fans. So we started the business 15 years ago and introduced a 20, 24-foot fan, about 6-meter fan, to the market. And today we started with 6 employees, and the first year we sold something like 140 fans.
Uh-huh.
This year we have, or right now we have, 650 employees and sell, well, I don't know, about 100,000 fans a year. It's somewhere, the gross receipts this year, the turnover will be something close to $175 million.
Wow, that's amazing. And so, Kerry, you're the chief big ass, and Dave, you're the customer advocate, is that right?
I'm the customer advocate, yes.
Excellent. Now, I mean, I first heard about you guys, about what you were doing, after one of your team, Catherine, got in touch following a recent post of mine on Forbes, and I was talking about sort of proactive customer service, and she told me that your customer service strategy, I mean, as you were explaining, and seeing your company results sort of grow phenomenally. I mean, go from zero to sort of 175 million in sort of 15 years, but in particular, she told me that you've gone from 34 million in 2009 to 175 million now. I mean, by any measure, in 5 years, almost 5 times kind of growth. I mean, that's kind of amazing. I mean, congratulations and wow.
Thank you.
But what I wanted to ask is that, can you tell me a little bit more about what you're doing that's different? And I mean, because that's phenomenal growth, and I'd like to understand a bit more about this customer service strategy or customer service led kind of growth, if you can.
Sure, I'll start off. I think that a lot of our growth is attributable to the fact that we have a direct channel. We talk directly to our consumer. That's both industrially, commercially, and residentially. And because of that, I think we build a relationship that makes it imperative upon us to have a very, very honest relationship with those people. And part of that is to make sure that our products offer more than the customer expected.
Okay.
And so one way to do that, and that's where Dave comes in, is to make sure that every single person that we sell a fan to, because we know who they are, we're not selling it through a retail outlet or a manufacturing agent.
Right.
We're selling it direct, that Dave talks to the people and ensures that everything has gone precisely as they anticipated. And it's what Dave's really looking for, what we're looking for, is not the pat on the back. What we're actually looking for are glitches or flaws in our process or the product, and to take those back through the engineering and through the service department and improve upon those things.
That's fascinating, because it's like, yeah, I mean, my next question was going to be to sort of Dave and to Dave's role, because Dave being this full-time customer advocate, and is your responsibility is to determine what the customers don't like, or I mean, I think in my article I talked about it being the finding the grit in your customer experience. I mean, well, can you tell me a little bit more about the work that you do and how you go about it?
Yeah, Adrian. So I proactively follow up with customers and identify myself as one of the managers here, and I think that makes a big difference, because they know, you know, we're serious about this when we call customers. And I ask just a few simple questions. One, I just make sure you got your product. And two, do you have any questions or is everything okay? And, you know, high percentage of our customers are very happy and they love to talk about the product and tell stories about it. But if there is anything that's they're not happy about, they let me know about that. And, you know, we take care of that right away, you know, whatever it is. And I, my goal every day is just to make sure that that customer is happy and with an objective of obviously, you know, using the product and then telling others how much they like the product.
Well, and I think another thing that's important there, too, is that, and Dave knows this, that when we're talking to an individual customer, we really don't care at that point whether we make money on that or not. I mean, that the most important thing and the thing that he keeps utmost in his mind is that that person or that company has to be satisfied. So it doesn't matter to us at that point. We're not trying to imagine what could have gone wrong, for example, if something did go wrong. Because in reality, and I know people say this all the time, but it's the honest God truth, is the customer is never wrong. He can't be wrong or she can't be wrong, because that doesn't get you any place. And so we have to determine what the problem is and fix it for that individual, but additionally take it further than that and make sure that that sort of thing doesn't happen again. And that's driven us, I think, to do an awful lot of things differently, to design the packaging differently, to design blister packs for the nuts and bolts that are involved, to make sure that instructions are written very clearly, that there are, it's more of a pictograph than it is a explanatory paragraph or so, just to make everything easy. And that a lot of that came from Dave and talking to people and hearing where they had problems and trying to winnow those things out and solve them.
Okay. I mean, so I'm reflecting on kind of the almost the UK experience. I mean, because I know that sometimes from if you speak to people in the UK, I mean, culturally, they might not necessarily be that forthcoming on terms of, you know, little issues. They think, oh, no, it's nothing, but, you know, don't worry about it. I mean, do you find you get the same reaction or with some, say, with new customers, and that you actually have to keep showing up and keep asking?
Well, you know, we sent a survey out to all customers as well, and I would agree with you. I think sometimes people just think, well, it's not a big issue, or they just don't respond. But I think when they have a live person on the line, especially as a manager, they know that they can be honest. If they're talking to their salesperson, they may not open up quite as much. But, you know, as a manager, they open up, well, you know, since you called, I was going to tell you about this or tell you about that. And you, as Kerry says, you get a lot of great information from the customer about, you know, packaging or new products, a lot of other things. Our customers, you know, tend to really like to talk about the product and are excited about it. It's not, we're not selling a commodity item. We're selling, you know, making a statement with a product, and customers just love to talk about it. That's been my experience anyway.
That's great. I mean, Dave, just one thing, just for clarity on my perspective, is when you call up and you position yourself as a manager, can you tell me, you position yourself as a manager of what, the sort of sales manager, or and therefore just kind of following up?
Customer advocacy manager, and I'm just calling to follow up on your product to, you know, make sure you got it and see how things are going.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because this whole thing reminds me of the, I mean, I talk about, you know, from time to time, I talk about how companies can, if you like, they can really improve their performance by looking for what I call the grit in a customer experience. I mean, there's a similar concept called sort of silent complaints. Have you ever heard of that?
We read about it in your articles, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, are you familiar with the idea? I mean, it's, imagine you go like to a restaurant and the experience hasn't necessarily been bad enough for you to complain, but you know for sure in your own mind that you're going to tell everybody you know about it and vow never to go back again. And I think that's probably quite familiar, but it seems to me that's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to really uncover all these silent complaints, really.
Well, the way we look at it is that there's a lot of people or a lot of companies say that, well, you know, if nobody's complaining, then everything's fine. We really don't have any customer service problems.
Sure.
But that's really cheating, because it's exactly as you say. You want to make sure, as a manufacturer, we want to make sure that we're actually doing what they expected. Because, honest to God, at the end of the day, we're taking money and we're delivering a product, And it's we want to know if we've held up our side of the bargain. That's what it comes down to.
Sure.
And I think it's right that you have to push people a little bit, but I think we have a reputation for doing just that. And I think that the customers probably recognize that more so now than they did when Dave started his department. So, but I think it's very important. We get all sorts of information from customers like this. They tell us what to do. They tell us where to put it sometimes, too. Now they don't.
Yeah, the product has to perform. So, if the customer's fan is not, you know, hanging there and running and cooling the way they would like it, they're going to tell you about it.
Sure.
And it's not, then we dig into it to find out why not and take care of it.
And so if I said to you, we've got some listeners and readers that are either listening in or reading the highlights of this interview, and they said, well, that's just amazing, and that I'm fascinated by your story, I'm inspired by your story. I mean, what would your advice be to, say, another firm that wanted to try and emulate your sort of success and the way that you do things? I mean, what would you say to them? Where would you say, if you have any top advice or top tips or, you know, advice for where they should get started on this type of route?
From my perspective, I think it comes right down to the golden rule. It's very, very simple, just being honest. And again, I think that the fact that we have a direct channel, that we know these people, we actually do have a bond with our customers,
right.
And we try to reinforce that, obviously, by talking to them and winnowing out any problems that they might have. But I think the nitty-gritty of it is you just have to be, open and honest, and you have to look for the truth, and that takes you an awful long way. And I think that a lot of people or a lot of companies don't do that, because they're afraid of what they might find. And I agree with you on the restaurants, though. I think that a lot of the online comments that people make, it makes it a lot easier now with restaurants. But I think you're failing a company, or you're failing a restaurant if you don't tell them what's going wrong. And
I think
that it should be incumbent, to some degree anyway, on the customer, if they really don't like something or if they don't like anything at all about it, that they ought to tell the manufacturer. That's the only way it's ever going to get better.
Yeah, that's fair. Dave, do you have anything to add?
I would add to that, as Carrie says, just open communications with the customers. I think many companies just rely on sending out an automated survey and hope they get something back. We have a survey as well, but on the front end, we're proactive, and we call the customer. We want to talk to them. We want those open communications, and we absolutely want to hear what they have to say.
Okay. I mean, on the survey, I mean, just one final sort of question for me. I mean, what's on the survey? I mean, do you use, I mean, a lot of firms will talk about, yeah, we have to survey our customers, we have to gain feedback, we have to use metrics and scores and things. I mean, is that a route that you guys go down, or is it you just focus on talking to your customers and open communication and being in regular touch with them?
Our marketing department develops the survey, and yes, they have, you know, certain metrics they gather and look for information, and I'm really detached from that survey. Mine is more just open-ended questions and things like that. So, yeah, we get the other information that we can analyze on the back end, but on the front end is just, like I say, open-ended questions.
Yeah, you really want to discover any problems because, again, it's as you say that if you don't talk to the customer and if they do have, even if it's some niggling problem or concern, they're going to pass that along. And I think one of the strong points of our business is that we have great referrals. I mean, people that talk about our product talk about it to a lot of other people, and they're very pleased with that. And that, I don't think you can buy that sort of advertising or that sort of marketing. And that's something it's very visceral, and I think that it appeals to an awful lot of people. And the only way that you can assure that you're going to get those positive or make that positive impact is by making sure you're taking care of the customer. And it's not rocket science.
No, but it's not.
But I tell you what it does, too, though. What it does is it makes you, as a manufacturer, it makes you concentrate on the job at hand. And the job at hand for us is making the absolute best product that we can. And we do that, we we manufacture product that is warranted for exceptionally long periods of time, and we take very, very good care of these people across the across the years that they own the product. And I think that makes a big difference. I mean, I think that's our fans are typically higher priced because of the care we take and because of the materials and what we do. And we're the largest manufacturer. And I think that all plays together. I think there's a reason for this, and it's because we take care of people and we try to simplify the manufacture. Excuse me. The manufacture of the product.
Yeah. I mean, I think you are simplifying the manufacturing of the products, but also adding that huge service and relationship element onto it. And I tell you what, gentlemen, I congratulate you on being sort of the first firm that I've heard of that's actually hired a full-time customer advocate and had a whole, you know, a team that looks after customers and actually proactively goes out and searches out those little kind of problems and those little niggles, because I think what you're doing is just that in itself is inspired, and it's an investment in yourselves and also in your customers. So I just say, well done, fair play.
Well, we appreciate that, and I think that one of the things that when Dave and I first had a conversation about this, I told him, I know this is going to sound weird, but we're going to write you a paycheck, but I don't want you to think that you work for us. And that should be your approach, is that you're continually looking at things from the customer's perspective. Don't think about us when you're doing this other than, just continually looking at it from the customer's perspective.
Yeah, so it's almost a bit like you work for the customer, well, you just happen to be paying your salary.
Yeah, which sounds sort of odd, but I mean, it's the truth, and I think Dave lives that, and that's worked.
Well, and I put myself in that place every day. I think, well, what if I had just purchased this product? Well, how would I feel, and what would I want it to do, and what would my expectations be? And that's why I look at it every day, and it's worked out very well. We have many happy customers.
And it sounds like you're having a lot of fun as well, which is fantastic.
You know, I've told other people this. I've got the best job in this company because I really do. I look forward every day to coming in here, talking to our customers. And, you know, once in a while when you do find something that's not right, I know, you know, I've got Carrie's backing and all the way down just to take care of it and make it right. So that's what we do.
Fantastic. So, gentlemen, is there anything that you'd like to add before I ask you my final question?
I have nothing. Yeah, it's been interesting so far.
Okay, so here's the question that I always kind of ask at the end of these interviews, and is this. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Shamelessly what?
Plug.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think one of the other things that the company does, and I think that you see it in the way that we deal with customer service, is we continually, as a company, we try to grow. We try to grow the employees and the product line. And so just recently, we started manufacturing LED industrial lighting, which is interesting because, again, the reason we're able to do something like that is we see a need that our customers pointed out to us. And since we go direct to our customers, they appreciate that because we can handle the projects.
Right.
And we just introduced that in February, and it's doing quite well. So, and again, I think that it's about the culture here, and just talking to Dave and talking about the customer appreciation side of this. I think all of it's a piece.
Excellent, gentlemen. I mean, that's been. First of all, thank you to Catherine for setting this up, and thank you, Carrie and Dave, for sharing your stories and your insights. I think that's been fascinating. And again, I congratulate you on what you're doing. I think you are just doing something different, but definitely leading the way. And actually, you know, I think that's brilliant. So thank you so much for your time. That's been brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much.